You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good morning and welcome back, family. You're tuned into the Mid-Morning Empowerment right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Now, in our mid-morning chat this morning, we're joined by Danielle Hunter, who's joining us to speak about love. All right. So this has been our theme for the whole weekend. We're talking about love. And right now we're focusing specifically on love in romantic relationships or marriage, if we want to be more specific. And so we all know falling in love is one of those beautiful, fulfilling experiences. And often we come across couples, unfortunately, who were once head over heels in love, but now leading their lives like acquaintances. And we can't help but wonder what went wrong, right? And this is where our question for today arises. Is love enough? Or do couples need to invest more than that in their relationships? And so Danielle will be helping us answer that question, as well as other questions around that, whether or not love is enough. Danielle, good morning and welcome to the program. Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning.
Good morning, Bongi. Thank you for having me this morning.
Thank you so much. All right. So we're talking about love in relationships. And of course, you know, in the movies, they always show the guy chasing the girl and then the guy meets girl and then girl and guy fall in love and they live happily ever after. And that's where it all ends. But in real life, it doesn't always quite go that easy. In fact, where they get together is where the work actually begins, right? So question is love enough to sustain a long-term relationship?
Well, I think it depends on what you envisage love to be, right?
Uh-huh.
Love is a multidimensional thing. It's not something that we can put down in a definition in a dictionary and say, okay, love is this. It has so many facets to it. And I think you're so right when you say they should actually start the movie after they get together, right?
Right.
Once they get married, because
exactly.
All those life lessons that are there should be indicators to young people and to people that are looking to get married about how life actually is. Mm. And how love gets tested. And at times it can be enough, but the reality is that it doesn't quite pay the bills, right?
Exactly.
There's a lot of things that goes with love hand in hand, like respect and honor and trust and, you know, allowing God to come into that unity to show you what love actually is.
Mm, I like that. And so would you then say that love is one of the important aspects of a relationship, or would you say that all those other things fall in under love? They kind of encapsulate what love means when you talk about the respect and the trust and all of that. Is that all part of love, or are those other things that exist next to love?
Well, I think that they all coexist with each other, right? We have love, but, you know, almost like an iceberg, under that we have respect and honesty and openness and understanding towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that hold up that love. You know, it's not just, we just see the tip of the iceberg. Oh, these two people are in love, but we don't see the dynamics under that that's driving that love. And I think that is also where, you know, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 4 to 7 comes in play, because the Bible so beautifully describes what love is.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at it, I love reading the Amplified Bible version, because it just gives us such a rich breakdown of the verses. And it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. It never is envious or boils over with jealousy.
Mm.
It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself as haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, and in brackets, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it.
Mm.
It pays no attention to suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. And then what we all really know well is love bears under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes, never fades under any circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening.
Mm, powerful.
And it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Wow. That is powerful. And when you look at it that way and try and hold it up against what many of us, maybe because of the influences of the entertainment industry, what many of us thought love should be, then we see that, okay, I think maybe we're falling a little bit short here and there.
For sure, yeah.
And so having said all that, then would you say, especially that line in that scripture that talks about, that says love never fails, love endures all things. Would that then mean that those couples that don't make it, or those that unfortunately end in divorce, does that mean they didn't love each other, or was their love not enough?
It's actually a very interesting question, right? Because I don't think that their love was not enough. Mm-hmm. I think that their love may have not been the depth and breadth of what love actually is, right? They may have gotten to a stage and looked at what they thought was love and realized, this is not quite what it should be.
Right.
You know, because love has so many different dimensions, we can see in couples, you know, when they get together, there's this heatiness, this happiness, this gloriousness. But as they start to get to know each other, they discover flaws. They discover, I don't like those characteristic traits. Yeah. And so they discover a different kind of love. And do I have the endurance to go through with that love, to love that person with their flaws and their kinks and their irritability? And so I think that love is put to a test. And then they discover, you know, do I want to continue with this love? And it doesn't mean that they didn't love the other person. It just means that their love was tested and may not have been the right season for that kind of love.
Right. I like that. May not have been the right season. And I think that takes away a lot of the guilt that I think a lot of people feel when a relationship comes to an end. There's this guilt. There's a feeling of failure, or a feeling like you've let people down, or you've let the family down, or you've let yourself down. So I like that. I like that, the way of looking at it that way, that maybe it was just not the right season. So not necessarily that the love wasn't there or the love wasn't real, but just not the right season. That's definitely important. Mm. So what kind of tests are these that people tend to come up against in marriage? What kind of tests do people face that challenge that love?
Yeah, and we, you know, there's a lot of challenges. Like we said, you know, the movie should start after the marriage or getting together, right? So a lot of the challenges that we see at times, you know, and one of the very big reasons why the divorce rate is so high is finances. Often couples, you know, will go their separate ways because of financial strain, financial abuse, or incompatibility. And so you may say, okay, but like financial incompatibility, what do you mean? And in other words, that's one partner, you know, where one is quite a lot of a spender, loves to go out, loves to entertain. And the other individual is a saver. They want to plan for things. They want to, you know, save for those rainy days and when they're older and, you know, in those sunlight years kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we also see infidelity, whether it's physically or emotionally. Mm-hmm. And dishonesty goes here with that, quite a big one, right? There's also a lot of couples that struggle with creating safe and constructive boundaries for themselves and the immediate nucleus of their family. Mm. We also see, you know, I always laugh because some people say outlaws and not in-laws, but we also see challenges with in-laws, you know, once again, creating those boundaries, whether it comes to time or finances or how children are going to be raised.
Yeah.
And then also we see a lot of disunity amongst couples. So they forget that they're in a partnership. You know, they're supposed to be working together on things and on problems, and they often attack each other instead of the problem. So we see then breakdown in communication and how partners communicate with each other in love. There's a very big difference when we communicate with each other in love and with love to whether we just communicate kind of thing, harshly and destructively.
Wow, there's so many things. What I find interesting is that a lot of times some of the things that you've mentioned there are already, you know, everyone expects them. Everyone knows that, okay, finances are a big thing in marriage. In-laws can be an issue. And, you know, there are certain things that everyone kind of knows and expects. And yet somehow when it happens, we're not prepared for it. Or when we when we start to experience those kinds of challenges, it's almost like we didn't know that this was coming or that it was a possibility. You know, there's so many things that I can think of in my own marriage where I thought, I've thought it all out. These are the general issues that I've heard men maybe in movies or other people that I know in my life, what they complain about with, in terms of marriage. And I've made a decision that I'm not going to be that kind of a wife, and it's going to be so easy and it's going to be so simple because I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to do that, because I've heard them complaining about this in the movies. Whoa, in real life.
Yes, it's completely different, right? And that's
completely different.
We believe as therapists and counselors and people in the mental health industry that premarital counseling is just as important as any other part of the preparation.
Definitely.
Because often couples don't have those discussions with regards to finances and in-laws and, you know, how are we going to raise the kids if we decide to have kids, and how are we going to spend our money? And then they get married and they're like, oh my gosh, what now?
What is this? Yes. And so it's crazy how that happens. But yeah, definitely a lot to consider there. But for those who are already in a marriage, so it's too late for the premarital counseling. Someone is already in a marriage. They're already in a space in their marriage where things have grown really cold. And, you know, this person and their partner, there's still that mutual, you know, love, tolerance, something like that. We can live together peacefully, but there's no spark. We're basically like roommates now. For that kind of a couple, can that spark be reignited? Should it be reignited, or is that reserved for the honeymoon phase? Some people say that, no, just relax. Life is not always going to be so exciting. So if you find yourselves in that phase, just settle into it. So what do you say to that? Is there a way to reignite that spark, or should we just, just settle into where you're at that time?
I think that's such a profound question, because a lot of couples that have been married 5, 10, 15 years, you know, are starting to go into that phase where they're becoming maybe a little bit too comfortable. Mm. So I think that a certain amount of comfortability is not bad, right? We all want to feel comfortable with our partners. You know, where the problem comes in is when we find that slacking and just not doing anything at all, that stagnating part of the relationship. You know, and love and marriage, I always say to couples, is what you make of it. You know, I like to use the analogy of a garden. If you care for the garden and you water it and you prune the flowers when it's needed, the garden will grow, it will flourish, and it will be beautiful and it will make you happy, right? Mm-hmm. And so love and marriage is the same. If we nurture it, keep working on it daily. It's a daily exercise, you know, not getting comfortable and not allowing those things to just slide and becoming complacent. It will then bloom and be beautiful. But, you know, it's what we put in is what we get out. If you're not going to put anything in, you can't expect to get anything out. It's like if I'm investing in something money-wise, you know, if I invest to save money, eventually I'm going to expect to get a lump sum, right?
Yeah.
But it's a monthly commitment to continually do something. And so eventually I'll get that lump sum. But if I'm not going to commit daily to making my marriage grow, to exercising love, whether, you know, it's exercising patience and long suffering, I'm not going to be able to reap those benefits.
Right.
You know, if you've gotten into a place where your marriage and the love you share has gotten comfortable or stagnated, then if the love in the marriage is important to you, prioritize spending time with your loved one. Get to know each other's love language so that you can do things that speaks to your partner's heart. Go on those dates, you know, on those deeper level connections with your spouse.
Yeah.
Find out what's your spouse's dreams, because we grow, we evolve, we develop.
Yes.
You know, the dreams I had when I was 25 when I got married are not the dreams I have when I'm 35.
Yeah.
You know, and so find out what their hopes and their aspirations are, and then find out how you can help each other constructively grow and carry life's challenges.
Yeah.
And how you as a couple can live an abundant life through Christ. You know, I often say to spouses, there's a difference between just living a mundane life
mm-hmm.
and then an abundant life that Christ hung on a cross for you. You know, you're not meant to just live day in, day out, day in, day out. You're meant to live an abundant life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lastly, I think it's very important, be each other's safe spaces in a chaotic world. As long as you've got time, you have enough time to work on something that's very important to you.
Beautiful. I love that. And I love what you said there about how, you know, who you were 10 years ago is not who you're now and who you will be 10 years from now. And so just with that alone, that just shows you there's always something to learn. There's always something new to discover about even that partner that you've been with for 20, 30 years. There's something in there. There's something more for you to discover in that person. So all it takes is just that little bit of effort. Just put in that effort. If you care about the relationship and you want to invest in it, it's as simple as that. Just putting in that effort. So I love that. And then another thing that we get a lot from the movies, and I don't know if this is real or not, but what do you think about the concept of soulmates? Is there such a thing? Are there people who are created specifically for each other? Are there soulmates, or is that something that's, you know, just from the movies?
You know, this is an interesting one because I know there's quite a lot of people that believe in soulmates and, you know, being made for each other.
Yes.
And then there, you know, on the opposite of the coin, there's those that don't believe it at all. They say, you know, no, people are not made for each other and there's no such thing as a perfect match. And, you know, you can love a variety of peoples for different reasons kind of thing. And it's complex, you know, and then there are those individuals that explain that, you know, you will know when you meet that one. It's difficult to explain to someone unless you've gone through having not meant, not, you know, met the not meant to be partnership person.
Right, right.
And then you meet that person that is the one that you feel is the one. It's surreal. You know, that person makes you feel like you've known them for years, days, weeks. They become part of who you are. There's that instant comfort and familiarity. You know, when you spend time with this person, it's peaceful. It's not, you know, conflict and destructive and confrontational. You experience a sort of contentment and fulfillment. You know, there's no vices, there's no fakeness, there's no resentment. It just feels right. It's got that peace about it, you know, and I just like to add that, you know, when you look at the Bible, God created Eve for Adam, right? To be a helpmeet and support, to remind Adam that they were created in God's image, that they were royalty. So I personally believe for myself that soulmates do exist.
Okay.
But once again, this is for each and everyone's own personal judgment and belief.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that because it really just then boils down to your own experience. And no one can really stand and say that, no, it doesn't exist just because they have not experienced it. So I guess that would make the most sense. If there are those who have experienced or they've met that person and they just knew and it really did work out, then no one can stand and say that, no, that's not true. That's not the way it happens, if that's how it happened for another person. But I guess even going back to the example of Adam and Eve, who literally were created for each other, that we can tell that even from that relationship, they still needed to work on, you know, together as a couple obeying God, as individuals obeying God. And because of their disobedience to God, you know, everything, I guess, in creation fell apart, even though they were created perfectly for each other. And that just shows us that even if you do believe in the soulmates, and even if you do meet that perfect person for you, that you still have to remain at the feet of Jesus in order to keep your relationship solid, and in order to make sure that your relationship is moving in the direction that God has intended for the two of you. So you can't meet the perfect person and then just let it go and say, oh, well, I guess we're perfect. Yes. I guess we've made it. We've arrived.
Definitely not. I think when you do things like that, you know, you may be putting yourself, your hand up to be tested and tried very severely. You know, I always say to couples, there's a question that you need to ask yourself when you have met this individual.
Okay.
And that is the question, does this person pull me closer to Christ? Does this person help me grow in my love and my faith and my walk with Jesus? Or does this person act me?
Wow. I love that. I love that. Danielle, thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, any final words that you'd like to share with our listeners with regards to love and marriage and anything that we need to know maybe that we've missed in our conversation today?
I think, you know, when it comes to love and marriage, it's very important to go to the Bible. That's why it's there. It's got such profound, you know, words of wisdom for us. We don't have to navigate it on our own. There are things that can help us, like 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 8, like we said previously.
Yeah.
It's such a good measuring tool. And, you know, it's important when we are engaging in these relationships to use our wise mind. And that is a combination of our logic and our emotional minds. And to, you know, be very aware of red flags, to not, you know, look the other way and pretend that they don't exist, but to engage with our partners and to highlight those flags. And then also to learn how to communicate effectively so that we are in relationships where we're building each other for Jesus and we are growing stronger together. And the thing that I like to tell people is that it's not just us as couples and marriages. It's the children and the legacies that we're leaving behind. That's the most important thing.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful way to end our conversation. Thank you so much for your time, Danielle, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Bongi. Have a beautiful day.
You too. All right, family, that was Danielle Hunter, a counselor, sharing with us there about love and marriage and the things that that actually make a marriage work. What do we need to put into it? Because at the end of the day, you're not going to have a happy, fulfilling, successful marriage by accident, right? You have to be intentional about what you are sowing into the marriage in order to reap what you actually want out of it, right? And that includes even if you have met the love of your life, that one true love, the person that God created just for you. Even that is not going to be a simple walk in the park. There is still work that you need to invest in that in order to make it the best that it could possibly be, right? If you have any thoughts or anything you'd like to share, maybe on your own experience, the number is +27734703520.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.